Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you wear glasses, or if you have worn contacts, or if you have ever had LASIK, then you've probably been to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, right? You go to see one of these because you can't see, right? I mean, you can't see things clearly or at the distance that you once were able to, and so you go and you tell them, I can't see, and they sit you down in the chair and they bring out the eye chart. You remember the eye chart? Yeah. You know, I've seen paper versions in my life and electronic versions and little projector thing that they shine up on the wall. You know how it works, though. You are sitting there in the chair, and they make you cover one eye or the other, and you try to read the chart. And you try to read as much as you can, and from that point, they determine what your vision could possibly be. And so then they start putting corrective lenses in front of you. Is this one better than this, or is this one better than that? And you go through this whole process until you can see the eye chart clearly. 2020, right? 2020. Well, tonight, I've got an eye chart for you. I'm going to see how good your vision is, okay? So you got to help me out here tonight. Okay, so here it is, your eye chart for tonight. Now, what do you see? Can you read it? Anybody? Huh? I'll better let these guys. They're brighter than the average bear over here. Okay. Any ideas? No one? Well, I guess this is the wrong level. Maybe we should start at someplace else. Okay. The optometrist would say, now can you see it? What can you see now? Can you see this clearly? Do you know what this says? This, maybe get a few words. Some of you are better than others. Yeah, I'd say, nope. Okay, well, I guess we better keep looking, right? We better keep working down the list to see. Maybe we will get to the point where we can actually read the eye chart. Let's just see here. Now, the eye doctor's a lot smoother than I am. Let's see here. We'll get it right here. Okay. Now, can you see this? What do you think? Read it? Everybody got it? It says that no matter where you are, where you are from, we're glad you're our neighbor. In English, in Espanol, in Farsi. But it's interesting how we can only see certain things and certain ways and certain levels. So picture me as your optometrist tonight. I'm going to try to help you see 2020. Now, this sign is causing quite a stir in northwest Arkansas. You see him popping up around Fayetteville, and that really is causing a lot of conversation. Some friendly, some not so friendly. Because not only is it a statement, not only is it a series of words, but it also has great meaning. What does it mean to be neighbors to those who are not like we are? Who read a different language? Who look a little different? Who are of a different faith The Christian writer Anne Lamott once said these words. She said, "You can safely assume that you have created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people that you do." Never thought about it that way. That you created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates the same people that you do. Which kind of makes me a little uncomfortable when I think about Martin Luther. Now, I love Martin Luther. I have learned a lot about Lutheranism from him. In the turn of the millennium, he was the third most influential person of that thousand-year period. But I'm a little uncomfortable about the things that he said about the Jews. The Jews and their lies, I think, was the treatise. I feel a little uncomfortable about that because his words were later used by Adolf Hitler, his inflammatory words about the Jews, to actually encourage or at least support theologically the annihilations of millions. And it makes me a little uncomfortable when even people in our day condemn one group of people for another, and then they throw in almost as an afterthought, because God hates them. God hates them. In Romans 14, out of the Message, St. Paul writes these words. He says, "Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the same way that you do." And then in Acts 10, Peter, after that great experience where the sheet comes down, you know, and he sees all these unclean animals in, and God says to him out of this voice, "Peter, get in there and eat your fill." Peter goes, "Oh, no, no, no. I've never eaten anything that's unclean. I dare not get in there." And God says, "How dare you make unclean the things that I've made clean?" God does it three times in case Peter misses it the first time. Something tells me that he didn't, though. And after meeting Cornelius and getting to know Cornelius and his family, after seeing that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and then he baptizes them with water, Peter says these words. He says, "I truly understand now that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Now, as Christians, we have a very simple job description. Jesus puts it this way. He says, "The greatest commandments are these, that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he encourages this in multiple ways. And we as your church encourage this in multiple ways. And I believe that loving God can only happen when we spend time with God. Just like any relationship, right? And so over the past few months, we've encouraged you to set aside time for chair time. You know, pick out your favorite chair. You're going to be sitting in it anyway, but take a few moments out of your day just to focus and to think upon God. Read your Bible. Look at a devotional. Pray for somebody in your life, or pray for those people that you might know that need God's help, or pray for yourself. It's all okay. Pray for the world, for our leaders, for the things that you see in the news. But spend some time with God. Because the only way that you can truly come to love God is by being in relationship with God, taking the time to do that. We've also encouraged you to love your neighbor. That's what these Reformation groups have all been about over this season of Lent. And the small groups that you are a part of in one way or another. You see, when you get to know them and when you get to build relationships with them, find out more about them and their life and their struggles and their joys and all that it might mean. It's more than just friendship, but you become spiritual partners with them. Because wherever the Spirit of God is, there are magnificent things that happen. And we've also encouraged other forms of loving our neighbor. Because once you get to know somebody's story, you do like them, don't you? Did you notice tonight that we had one more special little member in our children's choir? There's actually three members in the children's choir from Comunidad de Esperanza, Community of Hope. They've been singing with the choir, and Vicky has been working with them, and others have been working with them as they begin to learn songs. And I noticed that what started out tonight with great confidence soon turned to terror as she was looking out here at us, right? But as we get to know one another, as we talk with one another, something begins to happen. We begin to love one another because that's what happens in relationship. It happens when we spend time with God, and it happens when we spend time with one another. Even those people who look different than us, even though they may speak a different language, even though they might have a different faith, there is something powerful that happens in community. So I believe that loving God and loving one another happens in a two-step process. First of all, we have to see one another. We have to open our eyes and really see. And second, we have to know one another. We have to open our hearts and really be willing to listen to their story, to their journey, to their words. Now, someone said not too long ago that there is a big difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. And to be a disciple of Jesus, we must love God and love our neighbor. That's our task. And this week, our topic calls us to reconnect and to be community to one another. People of faith coming together time and time and time again. And allow our faith to open our eyes to see and our hearts to know. May the Lord bless your journey.